Good morning, church. That's a very warm welcome. Thank you very much, Pastor Paul. It feels like homecoming. Every time I visit Brimbank Church, it feels like homecoming. There's some sort of a nostalgia associated with it. It feels like I've gone to my mother's place. How good is that?
Hallelujah.
So let us start with a small prayer before we dig in deep into the Word of God. And the Word of God today I bring to you is a glimpse as we enter the season of Christmas. I'm not going to preach the Christmas message yet, but a clear glimpse of what it is all about and how that was revealed to few people in the form of a baby, in the form of a child. How did these people see that revelation of God in this small child who's not grown yet? And before we do that, let's pray. Father, we thank you, God, for your goodness and mercy, for your grace in abundance, for your provision, for your protection, for all the kindness that you have shown towards us until this very moment, the way that you laid your mighty hedge of protection around us. Oh, we thank you, Father, for who you are and what you are. You're holy of the holies. There is none before you, there is none after you, there is none besides you. You alone are worthy to be praised, exalted, worshipped, and given glory, honor, Lord. Now God, we submit and surrender this morning service, the word into your wonderful, capable hands. We pray that you speak through your servant and into the hearts of the people, that they will be gaining a new revelation, Lord Father, of who you are. And what's the purpose why you are born? And God, we pray this prayer in the mighty and powerful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Can everyone say hallelujah a little bit louder? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's how it needs to resound. The reason why I say that is to make us all awake. Hallelujah. Oh, good. Let's go through a story first. I love to share stories because they bring in a relevance into the word of God that we're going to share. And this story is about APJ Abdul Kalam. It's a big name, right? Abdul Kalam. He's a Muslim. And the reason why I want to share his story this morning is he was the 11th president of India. Now, he had a dream. Not in the sense like while he was sleeping, but he had a yearning, he had a longing to become a fighter pilot. How good is that? So he aimed towards it, his education was targeted towards it, he shaped and formed everything around that particular dream. He became an aeronautical engineer. And one day, he went to the interview to the Air Force Academy, Indian Air Force. Indian Armed Forces conducts interviews, exams. He went through all of those. Success. The final interview, there were exactly 9 seats, 10 people who have attended. And he was the unfortunate person who lost. And the reason what they gave him is of the stature. Because Indian Navy or Indian Armed Forces have a specific standard for personality. What they want is a specific set of height, weight, chest measure, everything. They want these particulars, and they're very specific about it. They wouldn't compromise on those standards. And APJ Abdul Kalam, he went there, wanted to become a fighter pilot, and he lost it. It was very disappointing. He was not disappointed, though. He's a man who made himself out of sheer will and strong, determination. Amen. That's what he was, a man of determination. So what he did is he went on to become an aerospace scientist. Now, he was one of the few people who pioneered in developing Indian indigenous space satellite launching system. Without help of modern Western nations, you could not achieve it, but India did. And not all the credit goes to him, but a certain amount of credit does go to him. And after that, He eventually became the 11th president of India. You know what president of India actually means? The supreme commander of Indian armed forces. He calls the commander. Air Force especially. Come here. And he goes, you know what? I want to fly. I want to actually fly that fighter plane. Make me do that somehow. And he goes, yes, sir. We will train you. And this, yes, sir, didn't come from a normal person. He was the chief of Indian Air Force, a chief commander of Indian Air Force. The person who was rejected has become the commander, supreme commander. Just because something did not happen in your life the way that you wanted doesn't mean your dream diminishes. Your dream is given for a specific reason. Your dream comes with a purpose. Your dream is something that God sustains, not you. It is something that God forms, not you. It is your creator who created that dream. It is your creator who will give you the form, the shape, the possible sustenance, everything to take that beautiful shape. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He was of the same height when he flew the jet fighter plane for the first time, and he was elated. He thanked God, and he said, look, I've been successful because of the hand of God upon me, which is really good. He was a very humble man. He was a great motivational, inspirational speaker. People used to invite him to universities overseas, asking him to come and speak to the children or the students just for a few minutes. Pretty sure he was better than Denzel Washington. I love him, Denzel Washington. But anyway, that's not the story today. Well, what the story links, though, is the relevance. See, there was a purpose why Jesus was born, right? Do we know the actual purpose? Do we know when we looked at the baby, or when we looked at the baby in the manger, in the most unimaginable circumstances, in a stable, in the grass, and when you see a person, when you see a baby like that, how would the thought come to picture that he is the Messiah, he is the Savior? Who would possibly convince people? And that situation doesn't look like anything convincing. You look at the baby in a manger and in a stable with hardly any facilities, modern facilities. My both children were born. One was born in Austin, Mercy Hospital in Heidelberg. The other one was born in Epping. You should come and have a look. And I think they're better than 5-star hotels. I wanted to actually not let them discharge because I loved those space. It was like most convenient spots. I loved that bed. It was like that's the best ever. But where was Jesus born? Where was he laid? What was the look of it? Just if we close our eyes for a second, just get a glimpse of what it looked like to have a look at a baby in the most unimaginable circumstance and think of him as your Lord and Savior, as your Messiah, as your promised King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Prince of Peace. Would that really dawn upon you? Unless is revealed to us by the Holy Spirit. When you did close your eyes, how many of you really had a revelation to imagine this child or this baby as your promised Lord, the Messiah, the Savior? I think it's really hard for me, being human, carnal way of looking at it. I couldn't possibly imagine. But Luke chapter 2, from verse 25 to 35, if it is possible, we can project it. We will see. Luke chapter 2, verse 25 to 35. But I'll read them through. What we are trying to deal with in here is a story about two people. We will go through their story. the similarities what they had, we will try and gauge a little bit of who these people were and what sort of a revelation was given to these people and why in specific. So we are talking about now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him, or maybe it's a bit different version. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see the death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. In other words, before the promised Messiah, that Simeon will not die before he sees, meets, embraces the Lord of Lords and the promised Messiah. So did Abdul Kalam. He didn't meet his end till the dream that God gave him was fulfilled in his life. When God gives you something, he holds on to it. You know, over the period of time, my God has given me many promises. Some I've held dear, and because I'm human, my forgetfulness kicked in, and some dreams are forgotten over the period of time. And then when suddenly this dream is fulfilled in my life, it comes back to me on that moment. My God did promise me on that day that this will be accomplished, that this will be done. See, the Simeon story, Simeon was given a promise. He held on to that promise for as long as possible. Probably to the end, towards very close end of his age. He was very elderly, very old person, and he was waiting. But God promised him something, that he wouldn't die without actually seeing the Lord of Lords, the Messiah. So Simeon was really holding on to that. So he was moved by the Spirit. He went into the temple courts when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required. Now, when we say the custom of the law, it's not the circumcision. It was already done on the eighth day. Now, they brought him in here to dedicate. It's the day of his dedication. Now, as parents, when they do this dedication, the Jewish custom is to bring some sort of sacrificial offering. So the parents here, they bought two pigeons. They grumbled too much. So they got those pigeons, got him to the sacrifice. In here, what we notice is they brought in the child Jesus. Let's underline that particular word. It's a child Jesus. Looking at a child, how could one possibly visualize that he would be the Messiah, that he would be the King of Kings? Now, this person, Simeon's anticipation was Messiah. Isn't that right? Simeon sees a child. I'm like, if it was me, Simeon, I'd be very disappointed, Simeon. I'd be looking at the child and say, God, what did you do? Now you got to wait until he becomes Messiah. I'm already old. Now I've lost all my strength. Yeah. Now you're showing me this child. You're asking me to be like alive until he becomes Messiah. But that wasn't the disappointment. Look at this. Because the Holy Spirit was upon him, this revelation came to him. It says, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God and said, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. Let me tell you one thing. When you embrace Jesus, whether you know him completely, whether you understand him, whether you comprehend him entirely or not, when you meet him, once you embrace him, you would make peace even with your death. Death will not hold anymore death will not have any hold upon you anymore. So in here, Simeon says, took him in his arms and praised God and said, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation. How could he possibly see salvation in a child unless it was revealed to him by the Holy Spirit? So there are two characteristics. We will go through some characteristics of these two people that we're going to discuss. And that actually introduces us to a dimension, what we see when we see, how we perceive things. It's just not, you know, what is taught in the Bible study schools, not in the church. But in here, what we will see is how we perceive things when we are in the Spirit. We will come through that point. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, light for the revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. So he speaks three things about this child. Three things he speaks. He says, salvation. As soon as he sees this child, he embraces him. For my eyes have seen your salvation. You know what salvation actually means? Yeshua. Redemption, salvation, it actually means your sins forgiven. Redemption is sins forgiven. Salvation is actually liberated, set free. So what it is he's talking about this person called Jesus, but a small child. He looks at him, he embraces him, and he says, my eyes have seen your salvation. My eyes, Ram's eyes, could not see salvation in the form of a baby or a child. I couldn't. But because he was full of Holy Spirit, he saw this, and he spoke three things about Jesus, what he's going to become, and what is the purpose, and the very nature of this person. He says, my eyes have seen salvation. Light for revelation to the Gentiles, that he would become the light for revelation to the Gentiles, which means he would be the catalyst for inclusion, not exclusion. That this child will become the catalyst. He will bridge the gap between God and his creation. That through him, everything that was created can be reconciled again. Just looking at a baby, just looking at a child. Keep the child, that perspective in your mind, please. Please do. Keep the child in your mind. Just looking at the child, he's talking all about this. The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, this child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel. Now he's talking about the destiny of this child. What is he going to do in future? What is he going to become? And to be a sign that will be spoken against. A sign that will be spoken against. Many will confront. Many will be confronted. And because of him, many will stumble. And because of him, many... In fact, during the time of Jesus, there was so much opposition to his teachings that he stirred up the hearts of people that in very Nazareth, people decided to actually take him to the top of the hill and throw him there. But Jesus, Bible says, he walked right among the people and away. So that you know, the word was fulfilled there. So that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. So the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed through him. Looking at the child, Simeon is talking all these things that are going to come forth. And a sword will pierce your own soul too. This is specifically to Mary. That on the day, the way that Jesus was taken on the cross and crucified. He was talking about it, that this will come to pass too. So there were also a prophet, Anna. Now let's go to the second character in Bible. There was also a prophet called Anna, the daughter of Peniel of the tribe of Asher. She was very old, and she has lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. Talking to all the people who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. So those who were waiting for something that they were expecting, she comes to those people, Anna comes to those people and shares the good news. In other words, Anna has become the first person or the first gospel good news speaker. It's not the disciples. Disciples came in at the end. They came in later down the track, but she became the first gospel preacher. The person who broke the good news to the people was Anna, in other words. Now, two people are discussed here. One is Simeon and other is Anna. Now, let's go through the characteristics of these two people and why God revealed to these two people in specific and why God reveals to people like them in specific and how we can position ourselves to reveal, to receive such revelations from God. And both were looking forward to something, great anticipation and expectation. One was looking for consolation of Israel. The other one was looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. They were both waiting upon a great purpose to be served. They had great expectation of God. Both were worshipers. Now mind this, how many of us are worshiping on a daily basis? We wait upon things, but are we focused on worshiping the God? That is the primary purpose of our creation, is to praise Him, is to worship Him. Are we fulfilling the primary purpose? That's a question we need to ask ourselves. Both gave thanks to God. Do we really give thanks to God in every situation, in every occasion? The first thing that Simeon did when he embraced the baby or the child, he said, thanks to God. When Anna saw the baby, the child, she said, thanks to God. How many of us, we do thank God in every situation and in every occasion? Train ourselves, train yourselves to thank God in every situation, in every occasion. Both were filled with joy. Both spoke about the child. Now, what Simeon actually means is to hear, to be heard, someone who is listening or obedient is what the name Simeon actually means. The certification from God that was given to Simeon is a righteous and a devout person. Now, I've got a house. By God's grace, he's gifted me a house. And it's got a roof. Thank God for it. So there you go, we have, think, all those ticks done. My basic reason to thank God every day. I come to Him and thank Him every day. And I say, God, look at these blessings that I have. And I've seen people who do not have those. And I've come across those situations where I didn't have them before, but now I do. You know, I was working at Domino's. Sometimes, you know, I had ability to only buy one uniform. And I was working 7 days. Now, trust me, thank God for the part-time job. If I was working full-time, I wouldn't be delivering anywhere because the stench was horrible. Now, look at this. The blessings that I have this day, my wardrobe is full of clothes. I look at my wardrobe and I thank God. I walk out of my door and I say, this door looks beautiful. Thank God. This is awesome. I look at my car and say, thank God, this steering is awesome. It's got all these features, facilities built into the steering. I don't need to go anywhere else. Everything is in here. How many reasons do you have to thank your God? Put them into perspective. These two have done it. And the reason why they can see these within a baby. When God gives you those dreams, you can visualize them happening. That happens only when you put these into perspective. Let's go through a little bit further and see how these two people have developed themselves, shaped themselves, and positioned themselves. And Bible says Anna never left the temple. Have you ever left the presence of God? Temple, in other sense, in the Old Testament, and during those times, it represented the presence of God. Which, in other words, in Bible, Anna never left the presence of God. Day and night, she used to worship the Lord. That's how you receive these revelations when you see a baby. What you see is mere baby when you see it carnally. But what they saw is not a baby anymore. They saw King of Kings. They saw salvation. They saw redemption. These are massive words. These are, if you go biblically and theologically, Pastor Paul would agree with me, I believe, these are very powerful words. You go to Bible college, it's probably, it'll take you through the whole course. And we have seen people spending years doing research about these and attaining their PhDs, their doctorates. They all revolve around these words. And these words were revealed to two people in Bible. The very first visit of Jesus to the outside world. And that's it. Revelation after revelation after revelation. They came and said, my eyes have seen salvation. This is enough for me. You can take me home. He made peace with, even with his death. He says, now you may dismiss your servant. How beautiful is that? Righteous is Simeon's character before men. Devout is his character before God. What is your character before men? What is yours before God? Simeon's character before men was righteous. Bible says so. Simeon's character before God was devout. He was devoted. He would not compromise. He prayed every single day for the consolation of Israel, not his own consolation, not his family's consolation. Sometimes I pray. I'm guilty of it as well. Sometimes I pray and I say, God, thank you for everything that you have done. Look after my family. Underline that word, my family. And God, bless us with every need, necessity, Lord Father. Meet those because you are my needs, my necessities. Underline those words. Simeon prayed for the consolation of Israel. You know, the situation of Israel was so despicable that the Jews were scattered across the territory, the landscape, across the landscape. As far as, you know, Ephesus, Corinth, they were scattered everywhere. They did not have a land of their own. They were losing their identity, so they held on to one particular aspect called circumcision, so they can have their own identity. So they were so desperate. Because they lost their identity over a period of time and the situation was so horrible that they were oppressed because of the taxes that were being collected. Yeah, the Caesar needed only this much amount of tax, but the tax collector needed a little bit more on top of it. So they were more oppressed. They needed liberation. They wanted to be set free. And this is when these two people from Bible, Simeon and Anna, are prophesying about this child. Entire Israel was waiting in expectation of the promised Messiah. And when Simeon saw Jesus, or the baby, or the child, the one who would comfort Israel, fulfill all the promises of the Abrahamic and Davidic covenants, bring both personal and national salvation. The one who waited for this long now holds the Messiah in his arms and is overjoyed. Close your eyes for a second, may I ask, and try and embrace small child in your mind. This child is none other than Jesus. And when you embrace him, the first thing that comes is tears. Every time I do this, I cry. When I close my eyes and when I imagine holding Jesus in my arms, oh, what a beautiful moment it would have been to hold the King of Kings, the one who would be the redemption, the one who would be the salvation, the one who would sit on the right-hand side of the Father's throne, the one who would overcome death, the one who would perform miracles after miracles, the one who would give hope to the hopeless, the one who would bring lost to the found, the one who would transform the lives of people, the one who would impact the history, the chapters of history, forever and ever, the one who would influence people, nations, historians, history for the next 2,000 years and beyond. This is who this child is. Born with a purpose. And that was revealed to two people. How good is that? How did you feel when you closed your eyes and embraced this child in your mind? Me, every time I embrace this child in my mind, I sort of cry. It's like when I hold my little Jonathan in my arms. You know, the warmth that I feel as a father, the connection that I have with him is overwhelming. It's unexplainable. It's so real. Your Jesus is real. See, I was not a born Christian, I told you all many times. In the past, I prayed to Rama, Krishna, and all the multimillion gods. They were not multimillionaires, but they were all multimillion gods that India had. I prayed to all of those. Where are they today? They're all buried. Then I was searching for God. Then I came to Muhammad, prophet, the founder of Islam. And I looked at him, and I was thinking, this man too is in his grave. Then I looked at Sikh religion. Sikh religion is actually the grave inside the Gurudwara, and the people and the priests are actually, you know, praying around the grave with their hands waving, with incense lit and all these things. And I found that person too is in grave. Came to Buddha. He too is in grave. Every person that I knew, every God that I prayed before is in grave, except for one tomb that is empty till today, and that tomb is none other than Jesus. He is as much alive today as he was and appeared to all those 500 people, his post-resurrection ministry. You embrace Jesus every day? Take a moment every day in the morning, close your eyes and embrace him. Be a new revelation each time you do of who he is, what he's capable of, how he's going to tune and turn your life and transform it, how he's going to shape your future. We enter Christmas, we invite people, we have parties. I can't even remember how many parties I've actually accepted at my workplace. My workplace has several departments. One is like revenue, one is like billing, one is like credit collections, one is like metering data. I work in actually connections. So all these people have Christmas parties. Each team's manager has organized a Christmas party. But when they send the invite, they send it to everybody. So I actually forgot which Christmas party I'm going to attend on what day. So I have to look at my calendar and make sure that I attend those Christmas parties on those days. It's not about attending those parties. We have lost the sense of the true Christmas, I want to bring that sense back this season, before you enter into the holy season. Or every season is in fact holy season, because Bible doesn't say that 25th of December was in fact the day when Jesus was born. Bring it into that perspective, your relationship, what you have with your God. How authentic is it today? Like these two people they had an authentic relationship. One never left the presence of God. She prayed day and night. And you know what the beauty is? They never anticipated on what day they would see Jesus. So one person has never left the temple just to make sure that she would be there on the day when the child has come. So she never left the temple. She decided for the next 84 years, I'm not going to leave this temple anymore, because one day I'm going to meet him here. I don't know which day. So I don't want to miss that day. 84 years, brothers and sisters. 84 years. And she went and told not everybody. She went and told only to the people who were waiting like her, waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. Not every person will receive. Not every person will receive. Get some anticipation into your hearts. Get some expectation sinking deep into your souls. And then wait upon the Lord. He will meet those. How many of us, not a single soul in this church, has come this morning without expectation, right? You had some sort of an expectation, some sort of an anticipation upon your God. He's going to meet it. But position yourselves like these two. Develop the character. Develop the characteristics. You worship. You thank. You praise him for what you have this day. He will give you more. Amen. The taste of the Lord was so sweet that Simeon, the bitterness of death wasn't a concern anymore. Death is inevitable. Every person who is born will meet it one day. Before that, I want to tell you this. You have efforted. You could have effort to live without Jesus. But make this statement, underline this statement in your heart. You cannot afford to die without Jesus. Because what matters is not while you are alive. What matters is after your death. What happens is after your death. The life that you will walk in is eternal with Jesus. Without him, a big question mark. That question mark is on the top of every head that walks around. When you go out today, look at the top of the heads of people. Every person has a question mark on it. It'd be weird to actually visualize that. How many people have this question mark? They don't know where they're going. They think it is the end of story, but now that is the beginning of the story. They think this is it. No, no, no. This is the beginning. Jesus would be the salvation of the world. He would deliver truth not only to those in Israel, but also to the Gentiles. Jesus would bring glory upon the people of Israel. Some of the Jewish people would believe that Jesus is the consolation of Israel, and some would not. You be in the category that would believe that he is the consolation. I lost my father. You know, when I lost my father in 2019, my mom is here. She's my mom, sitting in the corner. If she can raise your hand, please. It's my mother. It's a privilege and an honor to preach to your own mother. You know that? Who is very well versed in Bible, in the scripture. She is knowledgeable in the word of God. To preach to her is a big challenge. Because you people probably will have a little bit of inhibition in correcting me after this service. And she will not. She's my mother, you know. So they got to be a bit more careful. When I lost my father, I said to my God, God, I've lost my father. I've lost a friend. I've lost a mentor. I lost a guide. I lost a teacher. I lost many characteristics. So many of these have been lost on the day when I lost my dad. And God said, only one possibility. Bring in Jesus' perspective. He will fulfill all those characters in your life back again. When I miss my dad, I go to him. When I miss my mentor, I go to him. When I miss my teacher, I go to him. When I miss my guide, I go to him. When I miss my friend, I go to him. Majority of my family members are in India. Most of my friends are in Sydney. So I'm not saying I'm living an isolated life, brothers. That's not the thing. But I have Jesus. Bring in Jesus. This is the true meaning of Christmas. You have it. Share it with others. Take this message across. The message of cross was not bound to be within the four walls, not confined within these four walls. The message of cross was to come across. Amen? The veil was torn. Everything was accomplished in him. See, book of Isaiah chapter 4, between the verse 1 to the last, it talks about certain things about what God wanted Jesus to do. Comfort my children. Comfort my children is what God says to Jesus. It doesn't actually say Jesus, but God is saying to somebody. And Isaiah is prophesying about that somebody is going to come. And that somebody's prophecy is fulfilled when Jesus was born, and it is reminded to us by the words of Simeon and Anna. Revelation after revelation, mystery is being unfolded of who this child is. What is the significance of this child in our life? He can replace everything that you have ever lost. Through the COVID season, we have lost so many dear ones. Jesus will refill those. He will fulfill every single one of those. Go to him, walk to him, talk to him. Establish and maintain a cordial relationship with him. Jesus would reveal the truth. Jesus' suffering would cause Mary much pain personally. These were all told by Simeon. Simeon stands as a testimony of how we too should anticipate the arrival of Messiah. In other words, let me tell you and clarify this. We're talking about Simeon's anticipation. The waiting of the first coming of Jesus was by Simeon, by Anna, and all those people. The waiting on second coming of Jesus is upon us. All of us. Wait upon him like Simeon and Anna. Never leave his presence. Worship him day and night. Meditate upon the word of the Lord and wait inside his temple, inside his courtroom. Simeon came into the courtroom to meet the child. Anna never left the courtroom, so she was already in the courtroom. You position yourself inside the courtroom, in the presence of the Lord, and then wait. The Lord will meet your expectations. Salvation shall just knock not only your doors, those who have been faithful in this church, but the children have not, do not worry. Because God is the one who created you. God is the one who created them too. God is the one who brought you to the salvation. God will knock the doors on them too for salvation. And they too will come to the Lord. Don't worry too much, but this day, give thanks to the Lord and worship him like these two children have done. Redemption means the action of saving or being saved from sin. How good is that? Because she never left the temple. She was there on the day when Mary and Joseph got Jesus. So she was there that she could visit, that she could embrace him. Anna, let me make this statement again. Not the first person who receives the revelation will be the first person to understand the revelation. We clear? First person to receive the revelation was Mary, not fully understood what this revelation is all about. Who is this Jesus all about? Mary did not comprehend. She hid everything in her heart, is what Bible says. But the first person who received the revelation was not the first person to understand it. Anna and Simeon were the first people to understand it, fully comprehend it. Full picture of who this child is. Receive it, you too. A complete picture of this upcoming season. Complete picture about the birth of Jesus. Surround yourself with like-minded people. Those who wait in expectation, just like you two. And in this, I want to pray that all your expectations that you have upon your Lord will be met this season, and that you would have peace for the ones that you are still waiting upon. Have a prayer? Let's a pray. Let's a prayer. Father, we thank you, God, for the word that you have spoken to us. How we need to position ourselves. Where do we need to position ourselves? What does it actually mean to have Jesus in our lives? Why was he born? And Lord God, how to develop the characteristics, how to develop and build the nature like Simeon and Anna. We learned so many things about these two children, Lord Father. In just those two words, it says that one received a certification from you. It says righteous before men and devout before God. The other person was so faithful that she never departed from your presence, apparently. And she waited for 84 years. And the Lord, what a such a great blessing it is, Lord Father. At the end of their waiting period, what they received is Jesus. At the end of this, the waiting period, what they embraced is Jesus himself. Now, God, we pray, Lord Father, that those who are waiting, those who are expectant, those who have been waiting in patience, Lord Father, for your works to be accomplished, for your works to manifest in their lives, we pray that they have a revelation about Jesus. That we all have a revelation about Jesus. That we would be able to embrace Jesus. That we would have peace with everything, even to death. God, transform our lives inward out through this message. And to take this message of cross across. Give us strength, means courage, and show us the pathway and the direction, Lord Father, in which we ought to walk. This prayer we pray and submit and surrender the service into your wonderful, capable hands. We pray in the name of mighty, powerful Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Thank you very much, church, for listening to me patiently. I might have gone a little bit far. I think it's on time. No, not on time. Maybe a little bit. That's okay. But the message went across, which is good. This season that you have received the message of cross, don't just keep it to yourself. Talk about it. Talk about your faith with others. What wonderful, mighty, powerful, miraculous works God has done in your life with others. That is what becomes the catalyst. Your job is to sow the seed. Not to nourish, not to plan, not to keep watering it. That will be done by the Holy Spirit. You plant the seed. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you very much, church. God bless you all.
Hallelujah.